That day is getting very close. That day is very close. So I hope everybody's had a good holiday. The coming to go so quick. And we're into a new year. But the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ doesn't change. He is the same. He is still on the throne. And his plans are still going to be at work. Now, today we're going to start with the scripture from Ephesians 5:27. It says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. Now, most Christians, and maybe I should say every Christian who knows our Bible and is walking with the Lord should know the times in which they live. You should know the times in which you live. The Bible says there are things we should never be ignorant about. And there's quite a lot of things in the scriptures that tell us not to be ignorant about. Let me give you a few of them. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of how Satan works. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So when Jesus, if you get a word from the Lord, he says, I'll see you in a moment, well, that moment could be about 20 years down the road. Because 1,000 years is just like a day in the presence of our God. Romans 10:3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So there's lots of things in the scripture God's not wanting you to be ignorant about. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So in the scriptures, there's plenty of things written so that we should never ever be ignorant. And one of the things we should never be ignorant is to know the times in which we live. When Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about the time before Christ comes for his church and state. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now when we turn to scripture, human nature tends to take us to the doom and the gloom. One of the scriptures says, before the Lord comes, there'll be a great falling away. All through my life, I've witnessed a great falling away. I've been in meetings where the presence of God, the refreshing, and the power of God has turned up, but on the whole, the church has been in decline. But I want to tell you today that the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes back, he is not coming back for a week. Wimpy church. He is coming back for a glorious church.
Amen.
And we have been in this period of time where we've looked over the years, and this particularly this last 2 years, how that all of wickedness has come to the surface. How that God has allowed wickedness to come so that it stares you in your face and you don't need to have any doubt what it is. We have seen over the last 2 years all around the world attacks on churches to shut them down, to close them down. We've seen all the work of the enemy throughout the world, and it's all been to come against the name of Jesus and to stop the word of God going forth and to close the mouth of the church. But the Bible tells us about many things that are going to be happening when the Lord is coming. And there's got to be a generation who is living when these things happen. And we are called to know the scriptures to know if we are in that generation. Even my own country, you think over the last year or two, all the court cases against the government, against local authorities, against private businesses, because it all came against the church to shut down the church. Every court case, the church view was triumphant.
Amen.
But who comes against the church? We said Satan should not gain advantage because we are not ignorant of his devices. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world today. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world. And he knows when Jesus comes, his end is up. And so what did the Bible say? He goes about like a roaring lion. He goes about to see whom he can consume, whom he can deceive. He goes about to cause so much mayhem. And we've seen this in the last year or two. And of course the battle continues because it is an endless battle. But what has happened in the last year or two is that we have seen and brought to the surface those who stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and those who stand against him. And this is important because God allows things to come to the surface before he moves by his Spirit. He allows things to come. He allows people to make that declaration where they stand. And it's there for everybody to see. And we live in, and we have lived in these days, and years, and decades, where the church has been in decline. But I'm here today to say that Jesus is coming for a glorious church. And what we have seen in this last couple of years is the beginnings of shakings. Because there's always shakings before God moves. There are shakings. It's not because God needs to know where you stand. You need to be shaken to know where you stand. God shakes you so that you know inside yourself where you're standing. Are you on the Lord's side or are you not on the Lord's side? Are you looking up to the hill when your help comes from? Are you looking, fixing your eyes upon Jesus? Are you expecting Jesus to return? The Bible gives lots of things that will happen in the days before Jesus comes. Things in the environment, whether it's earthquakes, famines, whether it's technology. Think if anybody's got any children that's born this century. They don't know what it is to live without social media. Some of us are a wee bit older, we know what like it is to live when there was no internet at all. When there was no mobile phones. And we see this move of technology into AI, into self-driving cars, into so many different areas, all moving at us just so quick. One of the signs of the times. So we look around and we see all these things. But the Bible says that God is looking for a church. He is looking for a people. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have a church which he's going to present to his Father. The Bible tells us it's going to be a glorious church. A church without spot, a church without wrinkle, a church where the presence and the power of God is going to be flowing through it. And then the scriptures. There are some scriptures which also point towards this day. Matthew 24:11 says, "The many false prophets shall arise." And I was thinking about that one. Literally, it's only in recent decades that prophets have become very popular, or very well known in the church, should I say. If you go back a bit further in history, it would be very difficult to find a prophet, or to hear anybody's a prophet. And so the Bible's saying, even as God raises up his true prophets to speak to the nations, Satan's going to have his imitators. Many false prophets have come. And we are living in these days when these things are all around us. And of course, one of the great things is that the love of many has grown cold. We have seen that over the years. So we know what the scripture says, we know where we are. But one of the things which we do know, God always has a plan. God always has a plan. Mm-hmm. And your life at this time is not an accident. You have been born for such a time as this to carry the glory of the Lord. This is a time, and this is a generation that's going to experience the power of God and see the power of God like no other generation. Which means that this is a time, if you have been lukewarm, if you have been coming and going, if you have been inconsistent in your life with God, you don't have any much time or any more time left to get that right. It's now or never. Because God is going to bring forth a church which is a glorious church. And that church is going to carry the presence of God. And that church is going to carry the anointing of God. And the power of God will be released through that church and through these people who are called and walking in righteousness and truth. And when you go to the scripture, I said a few weeks ago, when it came to the birth of Jesus, look at the people who were there, whom God came and spoke to. They were those who were faithful and stayed the course and remained faithful throughout their lives. And we are coming into these days for those who have remained faithful, those who have kept walking with their eyes fixed on Jesus. We're coming into these days for the releasing of the anointing of the power of God and to see the power of God flowing again so that nobody can turn around and say and disparage the word of God, because the Bible tells us when the word is preached, it will be in a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And so these are the days which we are in. And there has been a real shaking. And there has been a stirring. And the enemy has become so bold that he thinks he can put the church down. He has become so bold that he thinks he can control nations. But I'm here today to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to raise up a glorious church.
Yes.
He's going to raise up a glorious church.
Yes.
And I'll tell you one thing about the scriptures. That whole of the demonic realm, they knew who Jesus was before he spoke a word. He said, we know who you are. And they come to torment us before our time. Before anybody recognized who Jesus was, the demonic realm knew. The demonic realm knew about the Apostle Paul. Remember the sons of Sceva? They saw Paul casting out devils and they said, let's go and get a hold of this person. What did the Spirit say? Paul and old Peter and old Jesus and old. Who are you? And the Bible says that man jumped upon these servants and tore their garments and then to run away. See, when God's Spirit starts to move, the whole of hell shakes and trembles. And when the Spirit of God moves, you will see manifestations like never before, because they cannot abide the presence and the holiness of the living God. And we are praying now and seeking and pressing in that this is now going to be the time where there will be that release of the power of God so that the church of Christ will get ready. See, Timothy said perilous times will come. And perilous times have been happening in many parts of the world. And in these perilous times, the church is purified. Purified. Because God's coming for the bride. The Lord is looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle. I remember last week, Marita alluded to it earlier on today. But the word last Sunday was, one of the words then was, fix your eyes on Jesus, for you are the bride of Christ. And the Spirit's pleading word was, come back to me till we meet eyes to eyes. It is time to come to that place where we see Christ eye to eye. That we are walking in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're covered and we're walking in paths of truth and in holiness. And so this is the time of his return draws near, and there's a harvest to gather. The coming of the Lord draws near. And one of the old songs I've been thinking about over the last week or two has been about Jesus. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome his returning. It might be night, it might be morning, it might be noon, but I know he's coming soon. And Jesus is coming soon. And the time of his return is drawing near. And what has happened in the last 2 years? Satan has tried to stop a harvest being reaped. A pandemic, much of a pandemic to bring fear and trembling. Many people lost their lives. All about trying to stop a harvest coming. But we're here to say there will be a harvest, for Jesus will receive the reward of his sufferings. That Jesus will receive the glory and the honour, and that the Spirit of God will break the power of darkness. The pandemic just being a tool of Satan to bring all this death and despair, attempt to deprive Jesus of that great harvest and reward that's due to him. But we're here to say today that this is the time that God is stirring up his people. This is the time when the Spirit of God is starting to breathe afresh upon people. This is the time that God is moving upon his church. Now in the Bible there are three distinct groups of people identified. Israel, and this comprised the Jewish people, and they were the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The second group is known as Gentiles. Gentiles is everybody who was not a Jewish person, a generic term really. And then the subgroup is the church. The church comprises Jewish people, it comprises Gentiles. The early church was all Jewish. And then the message went down to the different nations. And as to the church, the Apostle Paul writes, and it infers a great and marvellous revelation. He said that the church is the bride of Christ. That the church, and he talks about the church as the bride of Christ, he said it's a great mystery. It is a great mystery. As you in the Old Testament, no writer received any insight into the particular plans of God concerning the church. Nobody in the Old Testament, for example, knew anything about the body of Christ. But in Ephesians chapter 5, there's the revelation of the church, the bride of Christ. And the comparison is a relationship between a husband and a wife. And it's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And it says, even as a husband is to love his wife in Ephesians 5:25, we are told Christ loved the church and he gave his life for the church. Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. And Paul continues this comparison, talks about people. He said, people don't hate their own flesh. He said, they look after it. They take care of it. He says, likewise, the Lord sustains and takes care of the church in a similar manner. The Lord looks after his people. It was in the day of Pentecost the Bible said that the Holy Spirit was poured out, that you might receive power, that you might live for him, and that you might be a triumphant and overcoming people. But God, but the word of God says, even as you people look after your own body, Jesus looks after the church. And so in this period of time when there's been a shaking, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And when we go back and through history and we read through the scriptures, how many times do we read that there has to be a shaking before God comes down to a core group of people who say, now I am ready to move. So the Lord is sustaining and looking and preparing his church for the days ahead. Now, up until this point, we can understand and grasp the meaning through our personal experience with relationships. However, Paul goes further and gives us insight to this relationship, describing the church as part of his body, part of his flesh, and of his bones. We are part of the body of Christ, part of his flesh, part of his bones, a mystery that was unfolded. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he repeated the same message they gave to the church at Ephesus. He says, your bodies are now members of Christ's body, and you are part of his body. And this is for 1 Corinthians 6:15. And for as a man and woman become one flesh, so too become one flesh. Our bodies are now members of Christ's body. And the Lord is saying, my bride, come. It is time to look into my eyes. It is time to be prepared for what I'm going to do. It is time to be ready and be expectant. Remember, when we go back to the book of Genesis, it talks about Adam's words with Eve, and it lets us know Eve is not bone of his bone and also part of his flesh. And Paul continues on the same, and he now gives us the reasons a man leaves the house of his father and mother. He cleaves to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so we have that comparison. And it's like so many comparisons in Scripture, as in the natural, so in the spirit, to help us understand what takes place in the spiritual realm. We are now part of Christ's body. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church. And the Bible says Jesus is coming for a glorious church, without spot, without wrinkle. And so Paul would say it's a great mystery. And of course, we get started to get a glimpse. How can so many people all be part of one body? It's a great mystery. But the work of the Spirit of God brings together all the individuals and brings them into his body to make us one in Christ Jesus. Multitudes of people are members of Christ's body, his flesh, his bones, yet we are the bride of Christ. And the great understanding for us awaits in glory to fully comprehend some of the mysteries that were revealed to Paul. But see, we don't count some of these things so strange, because when we have encounters with the supernatural God, there is always things we will never understand. There are always things which go over our head, because God dwells in eternity. Have you ever thought about the scriptures about the Lord? Genesis chapter 1 said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But where was it before Genesis chapter 1, before he created the heavens and the earth? Because the Bible says he is from everlasting to everlasting. He's a God of power. He's a God of authority. He's a God who's always been. He's a God who knows the end from the beginning. He's a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's a God who is with us every step of the way. He is the God who walks with us even when we're like the two men on the road to Emmaus, talking to Jesus but never recognizing he was with them. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Supernatural ways of God transcend our environment and experience which living on earth creates. But this supernatural environment is what God has called his people into. To walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to have a life changed and transformed into the likeness of Christ, because he's coming for a glorious church. Think about when Jesus came in the flesh. It was only when he came in the flesh and in the natural that people saw him and recognized him. Because it was impossible to understand the spiritual through natural ability. So he became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And now this same Saviour, our same Lord, has come with his Spirit to stir up his people, to say this is the days we're to be stirred up. This is the days to start to fix your eyes upon Jesus. This is the day to forget about what's going on round about, because time is short and it's time for the harvest. It is time to take from the kingdom of darkness all those souls held in bondage, all those souls held under Satan's sway, who have been held in prison, who have been held in sicknesses and diseases, been held in torment. Now is the time for the church to arise and to bring deliverance to the captive. And so when we go back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is a church, the Bible tells, has been purchased by Jesus' own blood. In Acts 20, 28, he purchased the church by his own blood. The church has been purchased by Jesus Christ. And we are now the bride of Christ, and our call is to respond to the bridegroom. Our call is to respond to the bridegroom. And what is the bridegroom saying? Come back to me till you meet eyes to eyes. Come back to me till you start to be in that place, in that presence, where you know my presence and my power, and you know the leading of the Spirit. Come back to me to that place where you're walking in righteousness and in holiness, with the expectancy in your heart that things are going to be changing, and that you're going to see great things. This is us stepping into the glory. When we start to realize God is now moving to present to himself a glorious church. Amen. We've now had all of the works of Satan exposed. Now we're going to see what God can do. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to see what happens when the people of God move filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God begins to breathe afresh upon the nations. The Bible says there is nothing impossible with God. And so as we come, beginning this new year, I believe this new year is not going to be like any previous new years in terms of what happens in the church. I believe this is now time where we're going to be stepping in and seeing the hand of God move like never before. And so it's imperative that each member of the body of Christ now comes into their true position, into their true walk with the living God, into that place so that they will be partakers and they will flow in what the Spirit of God is going to do, and that they will be part of seeing and experiencing the glory of God as he moves, and to see people being saved and healed and delivered, and to see the powers of darkness being broken. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. So let's not look at what we've been seeing around us and being displayed by the powers of darkness. Let's now start to fix our eyes on what Jesus said. I'm coming for the glorious church. A glorious church. A church is an overcoming church. A powerful church. A church that stands firm when all the hordes of hell come and declare the word of God. The church of the living God, the church of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we start to move into this year, we lift our eyes from the circumstances of life. We lift our eyes from what we're seeing around us, from what's happened with the pandemic, with what has been happening with wickedness coming to the fore, the attacks on your church. Father, we lift our eyes now and look to you. For you are the captain of the host. You, O God Almighty, are the one who leads the armies of heaven. And we look in anticipation and with expectation that there will now be revealed the arm of God this year, and that we will see the power of God being released like never before. Father, we stand upon your word, and we declare that you are coming for the glorious church. And so, Father, we know that this is the time that the church is going to be getting made ready. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you to come. We invite you to come so that we will be stirred up to run the race. We will be stirred up to follow after and press in to all that you have spoken comes to pass. That each one of us in this place will move and come into their destiny. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.